Now here at the bottom of Vav Bet, we get Yitmar, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Ki Amar Rabbi Akiva, Zrika Mo'elet Leyotzei. When Rabbi Akiva says that Zrika is effective on something that's left the Azara, Shetzam Miksato, that's only if a portion of the Basar left the Azara. Avayotzei Kulo, if all the Basar is not there, Lo Amar Rabbi Akiva. The logic being, as such, Rashi quotes it over here, is that Migo, that the Zrika works for some of the Basar that's left within the Azara, it also works for the Basar that left. So that would be the conceptually, that would be the idea here, that you have a Migo, and that's why it works. But if you have no Basar inside the Azara, then you have no Migo, because nothing the Zrika Adam is affecting, and therefore it can't affect that which is outside. That's a statement of Rabbi Yochanan. Because I'm related to Rabbi Asi, Rabbi Yochanan. Farlim duni chaveira aishi begola. I already was taught by those in the Gola that mechashvim ala avud v'ala saruf, that you can have a machshava on something that is lost v'ala saruf, or something that is burnt up, something that doesn't exist anymore. So you can have a machshavet pigul even on imurim, say the imurim that were burnt up, consumed totally. You could still have a machshava of chutz l'zmano about those imurim. I'm going to be makriv these imurim and izbech outside the time frame in which I'm allowed, even though they don't exist. V'avud b'saruf lo itinum ba'olam. Avud and saruf don't exist at all. V'afilu ochi, and despite that fact, tani mechashvin, that you can have a machshava about them. And if that's the case, then it should also be true over here. We would extrapolate to the case of basar that's yitza. Even if no basar exists, the zrika should be effective. If you can be effective with machshava when the item doesn't exist, then also over here, when you do the zrika adam, it should be effective even if the basar is not there at all. So where is this? This statement of Ravasi, is that really true? We have another statement from Ravasi, which seems to indicate that that's not what he believes. Ravasi queried Rabbi Yochanan and said, someone has a machshava about nishpachim for tomorrow, meaning a machshavet pigol, what is the din? What the case is here is subject to a machloket. Rashi brings two possibilities of what the explanation is. The first one being, if a person has a machshava for the nishpachim, nishpachim are the shari adam, dam's left over after zrikat adam, that you pour to the yisod hamizbeach. And the question is, if he had a machshavat pigol while he was pouring the remaining dam onto the yisod to eat, a kazayit chutz l'zmano, is that considered pigol? That's what Rashi says, one question, possibility. The other possibility is, if he has a machshava during the Zrikat Adam, or during the Shkita, to do the Shrikat Adam outside of the proper time, is that considered to be a Machshev Pigul? Tosafot rejects both of those because he says they're obvious. Number one is, the Gemara in Zvachim explicitly excludes Shrikat Damim from Machshev Pigul. You can only have Machshev Pigul in one of the four Avodot: Shkita, Kabbalah, Holacha, or Zrikat Adam. Shvichat Shirayim is not one of the Avodot you can have a Machshava in, and the Gemara explicitly rejects that. So it's really a question. You can see in the Masorah Tashatz, right next to Rashi, questions, well, how could Rashi even have a Havamina like this? It's explicit Gemara that it doesn't work. The other possibility, if you have a Machshava in one of those four Avodot about the Shvichat Damim, doing them Chutz L'Zmano, that is Pigul. And Tosafot said that's obvious, because that's Achilat Mizbeach. They are within the realm of Machshevet Pigul. It says that other possibility is obvious. So the Re brings a third possibility about what this case is. And he says that it's a case where you did Kabbalat Adam in a cup, in a kos, and then while you're carrying the kos, some of the blood spills. We know from the Mishnah in Zvachim that if you shech the animal and the blood falls on the floor and then you pick it up, it's pasul. It's not good for the Mizbeach. On the other hand, if you did Kabbalat Adam in a kos, it spills out, you can collect it again and put it on the Mizbeach. So the question is, if you have this dam that fell on the floor, and he has a machshava about that dam, says, Mi aminin ha chazi, dimirtze yasfenu vizrikenu, since the dam on the floor is ra'ui le Mizbeach, even though you didn't pick it up, but you could pick it up, therefore a machshava pigul would be effective, or dima, hovin mitzvah lo sfo, since you don't have to pick it up, havalei holech liibud, it's considered to be as if it's going to waste. And that's if you have a machshava b'shat zrika to throw the dam, to do zrikat adam that was thrown on the floor tomorrow, does that make it into pigul? So he's doing the zrikat adam right now, and he says, you know that dam that I left behind on the floor, I'm going to do that tomorrow, I'm going to put that on his back tomorrow. Is that a machshava pigul or not? That's the question over here. But those are the three possibilities, and probably the case of the Re, or the second case in Rashi, is the explanation here. He asked Rabbi Yochanan, what's the din? Samuel Rabbi Zeira, Kvar Shanita Lanu, you already taught us Alal. So Alal is a Mishnah in Zvachim, again, that if you have a machshava about the Alal, it doesn't have an effect of Pigul, or one who eats the Alal isn't subject to Pigul. The Alal in Zvachim is a machloket Rishonim, again, what the Alal is. We'll go here with what Tosafot says, which is actually different than what he says in Zvachim, which is that Zgidat Savar. It's the sinew that's found in the neck, which is not something that otherwise is edible. People normally would not eat that item. Since you have a makshevet pigul about something that's not normally eaten by Adam, you have to have a makshevet pigul about achilat dam or achilat mizbeach. This is a portion of the animal that's not normally eaten, but it could be eaten. It's not normally within the realm of being eaten. And you taught us already that alal came in late by mashmasho, since it's not really real, it's not something that's normally eaten. Lo kibel tuma, which is probably the wrong gear, so over here, the more likely gear there is that lo mifagel or lo mikabel pigul. It doesn't become pigul. So the tzavar here, you see this item, since we consider it as if it's not there, pigul has no effect on it. So the answer to Ravasi's query to Rabbi Yochanan is the same. Since the item is not there, since it fell on the floor, this blood fell on the floor, and you haven't picked it up yet, having a makshava about it is irrelevant. Just like the alal, having makshavot about the alal, which is not normally eaten, has no impact. Hani nishpachim nami came into the ibud azle. These nishpachim, this blood that's spilled on the floor, or is going to be poured onto the yisurim mizbech as if it doesn't exist. Nevertheless, over there we say that makshava lo ma'anya doesn't help. So you see the answer to your question. Your answer to your question is that makshava is not impactful when the item doesn't exist. So if that's the case, now I have a problem for Ravasi. Ravasi is here asking Rabbi Yochanan a question about things that don't exist or things that are not considered within the normal realm of Kodashim. And we say they're not affected by any makshav. They're not affected by pigul. Yet before, Ravasi brought a statement from Rabbi Yochanan that you can have a makshav about an avud and a saruf, something that is lost or burnt. So how are you going to reconcile between them? That's what Gemara says. Elantani ala avud vela saruf kasho. That's a problem. Can't be that Ravasi made that statement. So Rava amends the statement to say ema ala omeid libud vela omeid lisaref. It's not something that's literally disappeared already. It was lost or it was burnt up already, but something that will in the future be eliminated or destroyed. The way Rashi describes it, it seems to be very simple, that he did the makshava, and then afterwards it became avud or saruf after the fact. Tosafot comes up with a case where he throws it towards a fire, or he throws it towards a dog. So it will be consumed. And in the interim, he does the zrikat adam. Or he throws the meat towards the dog to eat it. And before the dog is eaten, then he does the zrikat adam. So it's something that's obviously going to end up in avud and saruf. Nevertheless, he does the zrikat adam before it is avud and saruf. And that's the case that Ravasi Rabbi Yochanan was talking about, because their makshava will be effective, because it's still around. Even though it will end up being lost, at this current time, it is there. Since it's there, your makshava is effective. But if it's not there, your makshava would not be effective. And that goes back to the original statement by Rabbi Akiva. By Rabbi Akiva, we said that you have to have some basar left in order for it to work. If you don't have some basar left, then it's not going to work.
So at this point, the Kasha and
Rabbi Yochanan's statement stands independently. Then we have Ravasi come along and say, Rabbi Yochanan said that Avud and Saruf Legamre is allowed to have a makshava. And we thought that meant that even when the basar is gone. But then we said, even Ravasi, that's questionable, because Ravasi had a different statement where he queried Rabbi Yochanan about this case, and the answer he got back was, it's not effective. So then we reconciled between those two by saying, well, it's only effective if it's still there. If it's omeid lisaref, omeid leibud. In that case, then it's effective, the machshava, but you do have to have it around. If that's the case, by reconciling in that manner, it says that when it's totally gone, then it's not affected the makshava, and so too, that would support this position Rabbi Yochanan in Rabbi Akiva, that you have to at least have some of the basar left inside, in order for it to be effective, the zrikat adam on the basar that's outside. The migo that works for the basar inside, it works for the basar on the outside. But I have another statement. I'm Rabbi Papa. Lo am Rabbi Akiva zrika mo'elet liyotzei, el shiyatza basar. It only works for basar that's outside of adam. If the dam was yotzei and then brought back in to do the zrika, ain't zrika mo'elet liyotzei. Rabbi Akiva's belief that something that left the azara, that the zrika adam is effective at taking care of it, is only when the basar left. But if the dam itself left, and then you do zrika adam with that dam, that does not cure itself, does not help the dam itself. Tanya Rabbi Yochi, we have a bright that supports that position of Rapop and Rabbi Akiva. Shachai b'shtikai, that's the shichita without any makshava. V'yatza dam, and the dam went out. Afo pi shechazar v'zarko, even though he returned it, it does rigadam, lo asav lo klum, it has no impact. Bekodshi kodashim mo'alim bo, bekodshi kodashim, it doesn't remove the mi'ilah, so there's still mi'ilah by the basar. Bekodshim kalim, in mo'alim bo, it doesn't bring the imurim into the world of mi'ilah. So here we have a brayta supporting that understanding of Rav Papa, that Rabbi Kiva's din is limited to basar and imurim, not to dam. I'm Rabbi Kiva, azma zedoma, that's the case in the Mishnah about the two chataot, the proof that Rabbi Kiva brings to his position, neged Rabbi Eliezer. So Rabbi Eliezer says about that position, Rabbi Kiva, Melazer kiyama Rabbi Kiva vatachat. That's only when it's done simultaneously. It's done sequentially. Rabbi Kiva didn't say that. Again, when I explained in the Mishnah, I said this, and it's true here as well. But vatachat doesn't literally mean simultaneously. It just means that he did the shkita both chataot before he ever did the zrikat adam of one of them. He did the Kabbalat Adam with both of them before he did the Zrika of one of them. But Zech Azer means that he already did the Zrika Adam of the first one before he did the Shechita of the second one. So in that case, it's not effective because from the moment he does Zrika Adam, the second one becomes Pasul. So if he does the Zrika Adam of the first one and the second one's still standing here, that becomes a Chatata Metot. It's one of the Chatata Metot, and you can't say that it takes care of the Milo of the animal because it's still standing here and it's Pasul right away. It's only when he did this situation where he's shechs both of them, does kavad adam, now you have a choice which one to do the zrikat adam for. Since both of them are ra'uy, the zrikat adam of one of them will affect the other. Tanya, I'm Rabbi Shimon, shalakti the kfar pani, but I went to this place, kfar pani, matzati zaken echad, I was in a discourse with one zaken, vamarli, omer ayah Rabbi Kiva, zrika moelet liyotze? Did Rabbi Kiva really say that zrika helps something that is yotze? Yeah, that's exactly what he says. And when I told this over to those, my friends, my peers in the Galil, Amruli, hello pasulu, isn't it pasul? How could Rabbi Akiva say that it works over here? How does dam or the zrika work to affect something that is otherwise pasul? Was yotzei? Ushiyatzati v'yotzei dvarim lifnei Rabbi Akiva. And then when I spoke about this before Rabbi Akiva, it's a question of whether he actually spoke to Rabbi Kiva beforehand, and he's just telling them what he had spoken about with Rabbi Kiva, or after the fact, he spoke to Rabbi Kiva to clarify Rabbi Kiva's position. It's one of those two possibilities. Amar li bini. Rabbi Kiva said to me, Iyata American, you don't agree with me? Vihare. And he brings his proof that's found in our Mishnah. Amafrish katatov avda. Vifish acher tafta. He had a chatat that got loasi. It was Mafrish's second chatat. And then he gets the first one back. They're both standing there. And they're both there. They mi'ilo on both of them. They're both kodshi Hashem. Shachatan. He shechs both of them. And they're dam. They did kabbalat adam. Both of them, they're both standing there. You still have mi'ilo by both of them because you don't have zrikat adam yet. Nizrak dam shelechat mehem. If he does the zrikat adam of one of them, don't you agree? Shame shadama puter et bisara minamila. Just like the dam of the one that you did the zrikat dam for takes care of the basar from not being mila. Af yiftor basar chavrata minamila should also take care of its friend, the other chatat's basar from not being mila anymore. Then imitzil basar chavrata minamila. If it can take care of the basar of its friend, which is pasul now, as soon as he does zrikat dam for the chatat number one, chatat number two becomes chatat shekipru ba'aleha, or chatat shenevda, and it's pasul. Nevertheless, the zrikat dam is effective at taking away the mila from that basar of the other one. Ava bishu pasul, dinu, then it should be a kav chomer, sheyatzil basara, should be able to take care of its own basar, even though it's pasul, it should be able to take care of it. So that was the answer that we saw Rabbi Kiva give, or the proof we brought in the Mishnah. And so here it's the same story, same situation. Rabbi Kiva is bolstering his position based on this comparison to Chatat.
How
does he know that? He said that's a given. He says, don't you agree that that's the din? It seems to be that that's the Masorah that they had, that if you did the Zvika Dam one Chatat, it would impact or take care of the other Chatat. The most likely Svara is that because both of them were Ro'oi L'Zrika. Since both of them were Ro'oi L'Zrika, that moment, the Zrika of one of them then takes care of both of them because they were equally good. The Zrikot of either one of them have been equally good at that moment. So the Zrika of one should not cause the other one to lose out in terms of being removal of Me'ila. We'll see afterwards that it's not so effective. It's only partially effective, and that's the Gemara we'll come to at the end. Correct. The Tosfot says that. Tosfot says that this whole Gemara is according to one who says Heter Achila. Shaninu, not Heter Zrika, because over here we're demanding Zrika in order to get to the point where it's effective at removing the Me'ila. That's correct. I'm Reish Lakish, Bishum Rav Oshaya. Tshuva Gnuva Yeshiva Rabbi Kiva Lo Tamid. That this is a half-baked answer that Rabbi Kiva gave to that Talmid. in Rabbi Kiva's answer only works bevat achat if he checks both chatot. But he did them sequentially. I mean, he checked in one, did the zikatat of one, zikatat of one, and not the other. Then it doesn't work. No, it won't work. Kevin de pasuhu. And if Rabbi Kiva really believes that this works, if it's pasul, mali bevat achat, mali bezechazer, why should it matter how you do the avoda? Now, the way Tosafot reads the question is that Rish Lakish is not questioning Rabbi Kiva's proof. He says Rabbi Kiva's proof is a good proof. And just, he's questioning the way that he stated it, the way that he framed it. That's the way Tosafot reads it. Others read it as it's a question on Rabbi Akiva's answers entirely. Why is Rabbi Akiva's answer good? And this is because Rish Lakish says, or Rish Lakish is assuming, that the reason Rabbi Akiva thinks that it's effective over here, and that was the question you were asking before, why does this work, is because we consider them to be one korban. Consider the two of them to be as if they are one korban. If they're one korban, any avoda you do by one of them will be effective for the other. So if that's the case, Reish Lakish says, why should it matter whether I did shkita and kablat adam on both of them before I did zrika? Or if I took care of one animal, did zrika adam, and then did the second animal. If they're considered to be one entity, it should be equally effective, the zrika adam of the one chatat on the other chatat, whether I did them first shkita, kabbalah, and then zrika of one of them, or if I took care of one animal entirely, and then the other animal, because we're considering them to be one entity. So Reish Lakish says, I don't understand the logic of Rabbi Akiva. They're not acting like one entity, because b'vat achad it works, v'zeh chazeh it doesn't work. So I'm really Rabbi Yochanan the Reish Lakish. V'ata, yata merke, you don't agree that this is the case. Ilu ifrish shnei ashamot. What that means, or shnei ashamot, he took out two ashamot, lachrayut, to make sure that if one got lost, that he'd be taken care of. Now, the din is brought by asham, and we're going to say kal v'chomer by chatat, because an asham is a lighter form of korban than chatat. Shechad et shneihem. He did checks both of them. And then he puts the imurim of one of them before any zrika the dam is done. Don't you agree, Shim Alu Yerdu? That those imurim have to come down off the Mizbeach? If you think that these two Hashemot are considered to be one entity, Amayim Alu Yerdu? Why do you have to take the imurim off the Mizbeach? Hamar Ula, Ula says, in a kochim kalim, again, this will be a kabbal chomer to a chatat. But kochim kalim, if you take the emurim of kochim kalim, she'alan lifnei zrikatam, you put them on the mizbeach before zrikatamim, lo yerdu. They do not have to be taken off the mizbeach, nasel lachmo shel mizbeach. They become the bread of the mizbeach, meaning they become the achilah of the mizbeach, you do not have to remove them. So if I start from a simple kochim kalim, simple shlamim, you take the emurim, you put them on the mizbeach before you do zrikatamim. The real way, or the proper way to do it, is to do zrikatamim. That's matir, the basar b'achila, matir the emurim to go on the mizbeach, the achila mizbeach. Here you did it out of order, and you put the emurim on the mizbeach before you did zrikat tamim. Ula says, it works. Those emurim that went on the mizbeach stay there. You do the zrikat adam afterwards, and they stay there because the mizbeach already was collect them, took them in, and it's done. Yet, in a case where you have two ashamot, where they were lachrayut, and in a similar case of where I have two chataot, one was lost and came back, now I have two chataot, so in the case of two Hashemot, if I shecht both Hashemot, then I take the emurim of one of them, put them in the Mizbeach, and then do Zrika Adam with the other Hasham. Over there we say take the emurim off the Mizbeach. Why? According to your logic, Reish Lakish, when I bring two Karbanot that are for the same purpose, and the same reason, the same Hasham, the same Chatat, they're considered to be one entity. If they're one entity, then the Zrika Adam of Hasham number one should take care of the emurim of Hashem number two that was already put on the Mizbeach. The fact that it doesn't shows you that we don't classify them as being one entity. We don't classify them being as a single entity. Well, if we don't classify them as a single entity, then it's not a question of Rabbi Akiva anymore. Your question, Reish Lakish, of Rabbi Akiva was that they are a single entity. They're not a single entity. They are two entities. And the reason that it works, we'll have to speak about, but the effectiveness of one korban on the other has nothing to do with the fact that they're considered one entity. And therefore, there will be a difference between bat achat and zecher zeh.
Again, what was the reason why?
Zrikat adam of Hashem number one is not effective at taking care of the emurim of Hashem number two. They're not considered one entity. So therefore, you can't mix and match the zrika from one to the emurim of other. Your question, which is a fair question, is then why does it work by chatat? Why by chatat does the dam of one affect the other? All Rabbi Yochanan so far has proven is that, look, Reish Lakish, we don't look at these as being one entity. If we don't look at them as being one entity, then the din is not true by the kochim kalim, Ashamot and by Chatat. You can't say that if I do Shkita of one and the Zrika of one, that it's automatically effective on the other. Well then, why does it work over here? Why does it work when you do it, both of them together? So that we'll do in 1 second. So I'm Rabbi Yochanan, Kitzatzinun, the Raglayu Diyanoka. I cut out the feet from under the young one. Rish Lakish being younger than Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan was Rish Lakish's Rebbe, and he's saying that I took away the kasha that Rish Lakish had posed. So he says, I removed the kasha. That's one way to do it. Rashi has an alternative girsa here that instead of Diyanoka is Daikana. Daikana, that the diuk that you made is only partially correct, not totally correct. And that comes back to why is it effective over here? Why is it that when you do the Zrika Dadama, the Chatat, that it is effective at doing the, or taking care of the Basar of the other? That comes back to what we spoke about before. The reason it works over here is because they're both equally viable as karbanot at this point in time. When you reach the point of Zrika Adam, I could do the Zrika of one of them, I could do the Zrika of the other one. And since they are both equally viable and possible as the karbanot, the Zrika of one of them will be impactful on the Mi'ilo of the other. But not that automatically they're considered to be one entity. Anything I do with one of them is effective on the other. But that's only limited to Mi'ila. The Zrika Adam is effective at taking care of the Mi'ila of the other one. But not that it's going to be Meratza the Dam for the other one. Not that it's going to make the other one into a completely good Korban or make it that it can accept Pigol Notar B'Tamei. It's just really that it's this one issue of Mi'ila where the Zrika Adam takes care of it. So it's a very limited explanation, very limited idea that the Zrika Adam can take care of the Mi'ila. It's also limited to this special situation where the Dam was Ra'ui for both of them at that moment in time. All right, next Mishnah. Maaseh damim b'kodshei kodoshim hakelo l'achmir. When you do Zrika Adam by kodshei kodoshim, that it has a chumra and a kula. B'kodshim kalim, the Zrika Adam is kula l'achmir. It's always machmir, always makes things more chamur. Ketzad. Kodshei kodoshim lifnei Zrika damim. When it comes to kodshei kodoshim before Zrika damim, this is all that we discussed in the introduction to Mi'ila about how Mi'ila works. That when you have kodshei kodoshim before Zrika damim, mo'alim be'murim u'basar. There's Mi'ila both on their emurim and on the basar because they're classified as kodshei Hashem. V'chai Zrika damim after Zrika damim mo'alim be'murim be'mo'alim be'basar. There is Mi'ila by the emurim because they remain kodshei Hashem. They're going to the Mizbeach. Be'mo'alim be'basar, which have a heter le'kohanim. After Zrikat Damim, the Basar and the Imurim enter the world of Kodeshim, and therefore the Psulim, a Pigol Notar and Tameh, can have an impact on them. Nimtza, so from that you see, Maseh Damim B'Kodeshei Kodeshim L'Hakel, it's Mekiel, meaning that removes Me'ila from the Imurim. Ula Achmir, it's also Machmir because it removes the Me'ila from the Basar, and it's machmir because it keeps the mi'ila by the emurim, and it brings both of them into the world of pigol notar v'tameh. Now, by kodshim kalim, kulam achmir. It's all the chumra. Ketzar. Kodshei kalim lifnei zrikat damim, ein mo'alim lo be'emurim v'lo be'basar. They're not called kodshei Hashem before they get to the mizbeach. And therefore, before zrikat damim, there is no mi'ila. Not in the emurim, not in the basar. Achar zrikat damim, after zrikat damim, mo'alim be'emurim. Then you are mo'el in the emurim, ve'emolim ba'basar, and there's no me'ila by the basar. The basar remains like it was before. The emurim now have a din of me'ila. And the Zrika Adam brings both of them into the world of Kodeshim that the psulim and pigul notar v'tameh will apply to them. Nimtza, you see for that, maseh damim b'kodeshim galim kula na'achmir. It's only machmir. It doesn't release anything. It only brings things into status of me'ila. It only brings things into the world of Kodeshim. Now Gemara says, k'tani ein mo'alim ba'basar. In the ratio of the Mishnah, it says that you're not mo'el in the basar. By kodshei kodoshim, when you do zrika dadam, then you're not mo'el in the basar. So mi'ila hu deleka, ha'isureika. It sounds like that there is no more mi'ila in the basar, but there's still an isur in consuming that basar. V'amai. Why can't you eat the basar? Ha'mamona de koeinu. It belongs to the koein. It's head to the koanim. After you do zrika dadam, the koanim can eat the basar. It's theirs. Why should there be any isur in eating it? Where's this lokasha? The ratio says, in a case where you have yet to do the Zrika Damim, there you're Mo'el in the Basar. So the opposite of that is Ein Mo'alim. So Lashon of Ein Mo'alim isn't coming to be Midayek, that Ein Mo'alim, but there is an Isur, which is the opposite language of what they used beforehand. So now the Gemara says, Ein Seifa. What are you going to do with the letter after the Mishnah by Kochim Kalim? So there it says, Kululukach Hachmir, Ketze Basar Kochei Kalim, Lifnei Zrikat Damim, Ein Mo'alim Be'en, Umei Rehim, Ve'en Chaymin Alem, Mishum Pigul Notar V'Tamei, Lachar Zrikat Damim, Mo'alim Be'en Rehim, Ve'en Mo'alim Be'Basar. Why does it say ein moelim bebasar? Meila hu deleka isura ika? There is meila, but no isur. Vamai hamamona de baalimu kochim kalim. After as we got demim, the basar belongs to the baalim. They can eat it. It's theirs. Why is there any isur? Why would you lose the lashon of ein moelim? You could have answered. It doesn't say that that the Gemara is not willing to do that. Oh, then the Reisha and the Seifa, they consider it a consistent policy of ein moelim basar after zikat damim, just like they used it in the Reisha, they used it in the Seifa. But that's already two steps removed. The only reason you used it in the Reisha is to match the parallel structure of the before zikat damim to after zikat damim. To say then that you also did it by the kochim kalim in the Seifa, that is a little far fetched to say that ein moelim basar is the lashon you used. It's obvious that you're not moel basar. It doesn't belong to kochi Hashem anymore. It belongs to the baalim. So why did you write ein moelim? To be medayik, that there's an isur? No meila, but yes isur. Why is there an isur? It belongs to the baalim. Truthfully, it probably is the answer, that it was all about parallel structure. But here the Gemara gives the answer, Rabbi Chanina, leyotzin v'Rabbi Akiva hi. It's a case where the basar left, l'shita d'Rabbi Akiva. Ki amar Rabbi Akiva zrika moelet leyotzei. When do we say that zrika helps for yotzei? L'sreifa. Aval de'achila hu de'lo miratzeh. Doesn't help in terms of making it mutar to eat it afterwards. So the part about not eating it afterwards, that is clear. That this is zrikat adam that Rabbi Akiva says is effective, but here is only effective in terms of certain aspects of kodoshim. It's not effective in terms of making this mutar to eat over here. Everybody agrees to that. So Tosafot and Rashi argue about what the sreifa issue is over here. Rashi says that it's effective in making it that you cannot be sreifit miyad. If something in Kodashim is pasul, you burn it right away. You can put it on the fire right away. On the other hand, if something is problematic to eat, but it's not yet pasul, then you have to wait until the Ibur Tzura, until it loses its form, until it starts to rot, and then only then can you get rid of it. So Rashi says that the Zrika is effective at saying that this Basar is Miratzeh. The Basar is not pasul begufo. It's not a pasul in the goof of the Basar, and there you're going to have to wait now to burn it. You can't burn it right away. You have to wait until it has Ibur Tzura. So the Zrika is effective on the Yotzei to take away the psul begufo, but not effective enough to make it mutar be'achila. That's the way Rashi reads it. Tosafot says, no, you do burn it right away. It is a psul begufo. Ah, so what is the Zrika the Dam effective? Like for the things in our Mishnah, to make it into Pigol, Notar, and Tameh. The Zrika the Dam is effective enough to bring it into the world of Kodashim for Pigol, Notar, and Tameh. It's not effective enough to make it mutar ba'achila, not effective enough to say that you have to wait to burn it until it has ibur tzura. But the zrika is effective enough in order to bring it into the world of kodeshim for pigol notar v'tameh. So you see from this, and that's what I was telling you before, that Rabbi Kiva's din of the zrika adam being effective is very limited. The zrika adam is only effective in terms of bringing it into the world of kodeshim for some things. It doesn't make it mutar ba'achila. It doesn't make it into something perfect or working now. That's the same thing by the two chataot. When you do the zrikat dam of one and the other one, all it does is removes the me'ilah from the other chatat. It doesn't make the other chatat now into a korban that you can eat. It doesn't make it mutar legamrei. It just has a certain effect in terms of making that korban, taking away the kodshi Hashem status, bringing it into the world of kodoshim to a certain extent. But it's not like it's a completely and good zrikat dam. It's very limited in its effectiveness. Okay, we'll stop over here.